All right, so I've been thinking about where to actually start with Indonesian food because it's so vast, and I keep coming back to the same three things: rice, chili paste, and spice blends. Those feel like the real entry point.
That's exactly right. And the key idea is that these aren't just ingredients, they're a philosophy. Rice, or nasi, sits at the absolute center of the Indonesian plate. Everything else is arranged around it. It's not a side dish, it's the anchor.
So when we say anchor, what does that actually mean in practice? Like for someone listening who's used to rice being a background player in a meal?
Think of it this way. In many Western meals, protein is the star, and rice fills space. In Indonesia, that's reversed. The rice is the meal. The meats, vegetables, and sauces orbit it. Nasi goreng is a perfect example. Fried rice with meats and vegetables arranged around it, mixed by the diner while eating.
And that diner-controlled mixing that comes up again with sambal too, right?
Exactly. Sambal is almost always served separately, so each person can add heat according to their own preference. That's not an accident. It reflects a real respect for individual taste within a shared meal.
Okay, so what actually is sambal? Because I think a lot of people hear chili sauce and picture something like a generic hot sauce from a bottle.
Right, and that comparison undersells it completely. Sambal is a spicy relish associated with Indonesian and Malaysian cuisines, and a basic version can include fresh chilies, shrimp paste, lime juice, sugar, and salt. But here's where it gets interesting. There are hundreds of regional variations. Some are raw, some are cooked. Sambal goreng is a fried preparation. Others incorporate vegetables, fruits, even meats, or a sweet soy sauce called ketchup manis.
Wait, fruits in a chili paste?
Yes. Think of seruit, a traditional dish from Lampung in southern Sumatra. It pairs grilled or fried fish with sambal terasi, and the sour note can come from tempoyak, that's fermented durian, or mashed young mango, savory, spicy, and sour all at once.
That's a genuinely surprising combination. So the sambal isn't just heat, it's building a whole flavor profile. Which brings us to bumbu, the spice pastes. How do those fit in?
Bumbu is the aromatic backbone of Indonesian cooking. A typical bumbu starts with shallots, garlic, ginger, turmeric, and galangal, all ground together into a wet paste. That paste then becomes the base for almost any dish. It's why Indonesian food has that layered, complex aroma that's hard to pin down, but immediately recognizable.
And the grinding method matters too, doesn't it? I've read that traditional cooks still prefer a stone mortar and pestle over a blender.
It does matter. The mortar and pestle bruises the fibers rather than cutting them cleanly, which releases more aromatic oils. The texture is different, coarser, more integrated. A blender can produce a paste, but it doesn't extract flavor the same way. That's why many Indonesian cooks consider the cobek, the traditional stone mortar, essential rather than optional.
Now, all of these spices, the turmeric, the galangal, the cloves, the nutmeg, they didn't just appear in Indonesian kitchens by chance. There's a whole global history behind them.
This is the part that reframes everything. The Maluku Islands, historically called the Spice Islands, are where nutmeg originates. Nutmeg is the seed of Myristica fragrans, a tree native to Maluku. Cloves come from the same region. These spices were so valuable that the Dutch East India Company once controlled much of the nutmeg trade there. The global spice economy was, in a real sense, built on what grew in Indonesian soil.
So the spices that shaped world trade routes are the same ones going into a bumbu paste today.
Exactly. And coconut ties it all together, used as food, cooking fat, relish, and beverage across the archipelago. Indonesia comprises over 17,000 islands with diverse microclimates, and yet these core ingredients, rice, sambal, bumbu, coconut, create a shared culinary identity across all of them. The takeaway is that Indonesian cuisine isn't just diverse, it's unified by these foundations.
That's a really useful frame. The diversity is real, but so is the common thread running through all of it.
Right. And for our listener, that common thread is the best way in. Once you understand rice as anchor, sambal as personal heat, and bumbu as aromatic foundation, every Indonesian dish starts to make sense, even the unfamiliar ones. Now that we have that foundation of rice, spice, and heat, we're ready to travel across the islands. Next, we head to West Sumatra to uncover the secrets of the world's most famous slow-cooked beef, rendang.